Welcome to the First Church Podcast, a weekly podcast of messages from the First Church of Christ in Altoona, Pennsylvania.
You know, not too long ago, I actually was visiting the Copy Stop over on 6th Avenue, getting something done with a car registration, and they had this sign on the wall over there. It said, "Drink coffee, do stupid things faster and with more energy." Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
Amen. On Sunday morning, I get up quite early, and I make a pot of coffee, and I drink it all. You know, I was over at the coffee bar in between services, and I said to one gentleman, he was there getting a cup of coffee, and I said, "Well, you've talked me into it. I'm ready for my 12th cup, all right? I mean, you're always wondering how I have, like, all kinds of energy and stuff up here on Sunday morning. It's really not that complicated. It's coffee, right? I like coffee. I think it's not a vice. It's a vitamin, right? And, but here's the thing. I don't need coffee to make me do stupid things. Do you? Matter of fact, I don't need any help at all. Do you? I mean, I'm able to accomplish that all on my own. We're all like that. You know, we do things, we say things, and that's what brings us to this topic this morning. I want to ask you this question: how do I get past my past failures? You know, we've been talking about this moving beyond your past, and we've talked about forgiveness, and, you know, we've talked about being a new creation in Christ, and we've talked about how we need to be able to apologize effectively to others. Today, I want to answer this question: how do I get past my own failures, okay? I want a showing of hands here. Have you ever done anything that you're not proud of? Yeah, I might, you know. Or how about this? Have you ever done anything that you're ashamed of? I mean, have you ever done anything that if your best friend in life found out about it, that their opinion of you would change? Right? See, we've all done that. We all have things in our past that's like that. Just the other day, Arlene and I were talking to a friend, and I don't even remember what the conversation was about, but we were talking about something, and people were interjecting things. And Arlene said to me, "Hey, tell so-and-so about that time that you hit that 84-year-old woman with your bicycle and broke her arm." And my retort to that was, "Honey, I was 14 years old." Okay? I mean, I'm almost 54 years old now, so that's been 40 years ago, and that happened. I'm not proud of it. I hope that the senior citizens here at First Church aren't afraid of me. I've never told that. Maybe they are now that they've heard that story. But, you know, we all have something in our past that we're not proud of. Matter of fact, most of us have a lot in our past that we're not proud of. All of us have things in our past that we're ashamed of, that we wish we'd never done, that we wish we had a giant life eraser that we could blot certain things out and make them disappear from the record of our existence. All of us have things in our life that we don't want other people that know us, we don't want them to know about, because their opinion might be lessened of us if they did. But here's the thing, folks. You're talking about moving beyond your past. The great news is that we can. That with God's help, with God's grace, because of the way He treats us, that we can move beyond our past. I love Psalm 38, verse 4. It says, "My guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear." Spoken, written by King David. But here's an interesting thought. What prompted David to write that? You ever thought about that? What prompted David to say in Psalm 38, verse 4, that my guilt has overwhelmed me? You ever felt like that? What prompted David to say that it's like a burden, that it's too great, it's too heavy to bear? I wonder if he was thinking about Bathsheba. The Bible says that when most kings are away with their armies, winning battles, it said David remained in Jerusalem. And that's when he saw Bathsheba bathing on the rooftop, and he desired her, and he had her brought to him, and he committed adultery with her. then tried to cover it up, then actually had her husband sent to the front lines of a great battle, and his life was taken. I mean, David had to be thinking about that kind of situation and probably many others that we could talk about here this morning from his life. Things that he wasn't proud of, things that he was ashamed of, things that other people knew about him and thought less of him because of those things. But David's not alone. I mean, I think of Peter in the New Testament that denied that he even knew Jesus, denied that he was even a follower of Jesus. I think about the Apostle Paul who stood by while people were martyred because of their faith in Jesus Christ. I think of the Apostle Paul that actually had people arrested and flogged and put into prison because of their faith in Christ. I think about Abraham in the Old Testament who lied and said that his wife was his sister because he thought that it would be better for him. You see, the Bible and the landscape of the Bible is littered with people like that. People that had checkered past, people that had embarrassing past, people that had great wickedness in their life, people that did things that they wished that they had never done. And here we are today in the same situation, each and every one of us. Let me give you some encouragement from the Word this morning and how we can deal with our past in such a way that does not define our future. 1 John chapter 1 in verse number 9 says, "If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." I mean, think about that, folks. The logical progression here is that we understand our sinful nature. We seek forgiveness of that sin, and our future, our present and our future is purified and bright because of that. But here's the thing, folks. We do so much in life that we do not deal with asking for forgiveness, but we deal with it by hiding it, by covering it up. You know, just a couple of weeks ago, Arlene was actually out of town. It was actually when Jack was born, and we were in Tennessee, and Arlene stayed down there for a couple days after I came home. And I came home, and we recently remodeled our bedroom, and it's really nice. It's white. The curtains are all white, and we put a new floor down, and just this beautiful yellow comforter that she found with a thing around the bottom of the bed and matching pillow cases to go on the bed. You know, beautiful white and yellow, just very manly, if you can picture that. So I came home, and of course everything was all pristine and made, and I was actually looking for a flash drive that I had, and I'd put it in a glass jar beside the bed. Actually, it was Arlene's side of the bed, and I saw it in there, and I was going to get it out, and inside the glass were several ink pens. And so I poured the ink pens out on the top of the comforter to get the flash drive, and oh my goodness, a pen had leaked. And I pretty much dumped a large tablespoon of black ink on top of the comforter. Thank God it was on her side of the bed. And I did what every red-blooded American male would do. I turned it over. Actually, I thought of turning it over, and then I thought of a better plan. And when Arlene came home, before she ever entered the house, I confessed my egregious sin. And you know, the neat thing was that she said, "Oh, I can get it out." She couldn't. But she didn't hold it against me. I don't think, anyway. You know what, folks? When you do something really bad, isn't it awesome when you realize how bad and you ask for forgiveness and forgiveness is granted? You see, the big picture here of this verse is that your biggest sins are not too big for God's grace. That your greatest transgressions, that your most egregious conduct in your past, that it is not bigger than God's grace. And because of that fact, When we understand that, and when we realize that, and when we recognize our sin, when we confess our sin, He will forgive us our sin. And then it says He will purify us from all unrighteousness. And you see, that purity is the fact of not that it is erased from your past, but the effects of it is erased from your future. Right? I mean, we always remember the things that we did, what we said, the egregious sins that we commit. And we probably should never forget them, because it's healthy to remember them. But isn't it a wonderful blessing when they are not held against us? Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 34. I love this passage of Scripture. It says, "For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more." You know, when I read that passage of Scripture, my mind, my heart was drawn to the word wickedness. And when in reality, a lot of times I think, you know what, I'm not perfect, but I'm not so bad that I'm wicked. But in reality, all disobedience to God is wickedness. And the thing about it is that whether the degree of our sin is small or great, the effect on your life and my life is the same. And the promise is that God will forgive us even of our wickedness and will remember their sins no more. You know, when I was in college, I had this episode happen to me. I had this professor, his name was Dr. Fife. He was the smartest, most brilliant man I'd ever been around. And I had a history class with him early in the morning, on Monday morning, and I'd traveled all weekend. I'm just going to tell you, you know, how hard my life had been for 48 hours, which made me do something incredibly stupid. But I'd traveled all weekend, came back to school, you know, didn't have a whole lot of sleep, got up early that morning to go to class. I'm sitting in class, 7 o'clock history class. You can imagine. I mean, that's a snoozer in and of itself, right? And I wasn't asleep, but I was close. Class hadn't started yet. My best friend, Kurt Parker, was seated next to me. And Dr. Fife, this brilliant man, he always started class the same way. He'd ask somebody to pray, and he asked somebody to pray. And Kurt, my best friend, punched me in the arm, and he said, "Johnny, ask you to pray." Well, he didn't. But I spoke up and I said one of the most beautiful prayers that you could ever imagine. I was so proud. And when I said amen, I looked up and Dr. Fife was standing right in front of me. And he said, "That was a wonderful prayer, Judy. Thank you very much." And I said, "Parker, I'm going to kill you when this class is over." From that day on, I would be in that man's presence, Dr. Fife, and I was instantly embarrassed. You know, I would see him after I graduated. You know, after I moved on, I'd go back and I'd want to go the other way. I was just instantly embarrassed, because every time I came into his presence, I figured that's what he was thinking about. There's that crazy guy that, you know what I'm saying? Listen, this passage says he'll remember their sins no more. You and I never have to come into the presence of God with ever a thought about our past that's been forgiven. Isn't that awesome? Our biggest sin is not too big for God's grace. Here's the second passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. It may sound familiar to you. "Anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun." That's the first verse that we studied in this teaching series. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. And here's the major point. You are not what you have done. You are who God says you are. You see, one of the biggest things the devil does to derail our life is to say, "Don't believe God when he says that you're forgiven." He always wants us to feel responsible for our past, to be responsible for our sins, and to say, you know what, we are no good, and God can't love you that great, and God's grace can't be so big that it'll cover these awful things that you have done, that you have thought, that you have said. But we are not what we have done. We are who God says we are. Now think about it, folks. Every one of us here can think of some awful decision we've made, something terrible that we have done. Maybe right away we realize that we should not have said it. We should not have done it. But here's the promise, folks. The promise is that we are not what we have done. We are who God says that we are. That if we are in Christ, if we belong to Christ, we are a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 through 15, beautiful passage of scripture. It says, not that I've already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Now highlight these words there. Forgetting what is behind, straining toward what is ahead. Think about that. I just said to you, you're not what you have done, but you're who God says that you are. That's exactly what this verse is saying, isn't it? That we can turn a blind eye and a deaf ear to whatever's in our past, that we can forget about those things. And now we have a new goal, we have a new mission, and that we can go forward with an understanding that we are forgiven in Christ. Now, let me address this just for a second here, because I don't think when he's saying there, forgetting what is behind, I don't think he's talking about that we erase memories from our mind. I think what he's saying is that we understand that they don't define our future. I don't know about you, but I think it's impossible to totally forget big mistakes that you've made. I think it's impossible to totally forget egregious sins that you have committed. But I think it's absolutely possible to understand through the grace and the mercy of God that I'm no longer bound by those, that they no longer define me, that they are in my past, but they are not in my present, and they're certainly not in my future. And I don't have to be ashamed of them. I don't have to be worried about them. I can understand and realize that they are gone because God doesn't operate that way. And what a beautiful thing that is to know that God doesn't do that. Matter of fact, let me say it this way. You can't change your past, but Christ can change your future. I mean, you can't change your past. It's water under the bridge. You've heard the old adage that a word spoken and an arrow loosed can never be returned. And we may not be able to change things that we've done, things that we've said, sins that we've committed. They're there. We'll never forget them, but they don't have to define us, and they don't have to put us in a box of who we can be in the future. You can't change your past, but Christ can change your future. You know, there's a word, a little two-letter word that you see and read over and over again in the Bible. Romans uses it. Corinthians uses it. Colossians uses it. Philippians uses it. Talking about that we are a new creature if we are in Christ. That if we are in Christ, that little word in all those verses talks about our identity, talks about who we are, who defines us, you know, talks about, you know, whose we are and where we are in our life of faith. And even though you can't change your past, Christ can change your future. And the difference is that when we are in Christ, we are a new creature. We are a new creation. The old is gone, and the new life has begun. So I don't know about you, but I thank God for that place of being in Christ. You know, what a wonderful blessing it is to know that we are forgiven. So let me end the same place I started this morning. How do I get past my own failures? Well, we get past our own failures when we realize that our biggest sin is not too big for God's great grace. We can get past our greatest failures when we understand that we're defined not by what we have done, but by who God says that we are. And He says that if we are in Christ, we are a new person. We get past our past failures by realizing that we can't change our past, but Christ can change our future. Proverbs says, though the righteous fall seven times, they rise again. So the encouragement for me and for you is to make sure that we rise in the power and might of our Heavenly Father. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we do thank you for this wonderful morning, for what we have in you. Lord, we thank you for whose we are in you. And Lord, may we know that we do not have to be defined by our failures, but that, Lord, we can be defined by who you say that we are. So, Lord, I pray that every person in this room this morning would hear that still, small voice of God the Father whispering in their ear that you are loved and that you are forgiven and that you can be all that your heart and spirit can dream that you can be, because in Christ you are a new creature. God, may we hear your voice say that to us in such a real and definite way. And Lord, I just pray for deliverance. I pray for victories in the lives of these your people as they deal, Lord, with the brokenness of their past. And even though, Lord, they may feel unable to offer anything other than a broken hallelujah or shattered praise, God, may they know that because they are in Christ, that they can be redeemed, that they can be forgiven, that they can be made holy and pure, and that, Lord, our future can be so bright, even if our past, Lord, is full of darkness and tears. So, Lord, I pray that as we hear your voice speak to us this morning, that, Lord, we will be able to sing that we will follow you. And that, Lord, by following you, that we will be changed from the inside out by your blessed Holy Spirit. And that, Lord, you can use us to do something wonderful, even though all of our past are checkered and marred by things that we have done that we are not proud of. So God, right now, as we sing this song, as we give our hearts to you, Lord, I pray that you would assure us of our place in you, and that, Lord, your Spirit would energize us to have a brighter tomorrow because our past is covered by your grace and forgiveness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the First Church Podcast. We hope you enjoyed the message for today. Be sure to check back next week or subscribe to the podcast by visiting our website at firstforchrist.com. That's first, the number four, christ.com.